Well, the joy of Easter is described in all four Gospels, but Mark's Gospel is unusual in that its account of Easter morning ends abruptly and on a somber tone. Listen for the Word of God from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go, tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you." Overcome with terror and dread, the ladies fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Every year as I prepare for Easter, I remember some unsolicited advice I once received when I was fresh out of seminary. I was serving as an associate pastor at a large Presbyterian church in the suburbs of Detroit. Our town's local clergy association met monthly to promote Christian unity, of course, and also to drink coffee while we talked shop. There were Methodist and Lutheran pastors, Reformed and Presbyterian clergy, Episcopal and Roman Catholic priests, and preachers from the Baptist and Evangelical churches. And at the meeting where we were working out the details for our annual community Good Friday service, the veteran Baptist pastor turned to me, the newcomer, and he said, "Son, if you can't preach a good Easter sermon, you'd best get out of the business." Well, for someone who had never prepared an Easter sermon before, talk about pressure. I tried not to let it get to me, but all these years later, I haven't forgotten it either. But what constitutes a good Easter sermon anyway? I mean, the good news of the gospel can't get any better, regardless of how good a sermon about it might be. But I will say this. When you look at the story of Christ's resurrection as it's told in the four Gospels of the New Testament, the version we heard this year from the Gospel of Mark seems incomplete and consequently a bit disappointing. By comparison, in their descriptions of Easter morning and the events that followed, Gospel writers Matthew, Luke, and John expressed the startled, puzzled, and overjoyed feelings of the women and the other disciples, but not Mark. Well, let's remember why anything happened so early on that Sunday morning, the very first Easter day. Well, sunrise brought the first daylight after the end of the Sabbath day. And so early that morning, certain women went to the tomb to carry out a funeral ritual for Jesus that they'd run out of time for on Friday. They went to wash and shroud the body. Now, they weren't expecting to discover their beloved master and friend had been raised from death to new life. That's why they were surprised, even frightened, to discover that the tomb was open and empty. Now, the other three Gospels present stories of the resurrected Christ appearing to the men and women who were his followers. Jesus met them outside the tomb, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, behind locked doors in Jerusalem, and on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Jesus appeared to the believers. He spoke to them. He gave them instructions and encouragement, but not in the version we heard today. In Mark's gospel, the angelic messenger told the women that Jesus had been raised and that they should relay that news to Peter and the other disciples. But they didn't. Mark's gospel ends by telling the reader that they were overcome with terror and dread. They fled from the tomb. They were so scared that they didn't tell Peter or the other disciples. They didn't say anything to anyone. In fact, the original Greek language version of the gospel contains a grammatical oddity that accentuates the abruptness of the end of Mark's gospel. It ends with the Greek word that means for or because, as in, they were so afraid that they said nothing to anyone because. And the text just leaves us hanging. But perhaps that abruptness makes this the most engaging of the four Gospels. You see, the abruptness of Mark's Gospel ending leaves it to us to carry on the story. Like the women at the tomb, we hear the good news, but unlike the women who fled in terror and dread, we have the courage from faith to embrace the good news, to believe it, to live our lives accordingly, confident in God's power over all powers, even the power of death. Yes, death will claim our lives one day, but it will not end God's claim on us as God's beloved children. The women at the tomb were overwhelmed by the surprise of Christ's resurrection to new life. We can't fault them for being surprised, frightened, unsure what to do. But now we know the gift of Easter. Now we know the signs of new life that they discovered, that those signs signaled God's gift of new life for us. You know, Christians are sometimes called Easter people because we live with trust in God's everlasting care. The promise of eternal life enables us to see new opportunities in this life. Let me briefly suggest four such opportunities. First, as we continue to slowly emerge from the perils and constraints of this pandemic, we will have a new depth of appreciation for the freedoms in living our everyday lives. Second, we are developing a new, more urgent awareness of our society's ability and responsibility for addressing a history of discrimination against minority populations. Third, knowing the truth that's declared in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that we are able to love because God first loved us, we find new encouragement to risk deeper, more honest relationships with friends and, yes, even with our families. And fourth, when our loved ones die, we need not fear losing them to the abyss of death. For Christ's resurrection declares that in life and in death, we belong to the God of heaven and earth. We belong to the keeper of now and eternity. We belong to the heavenly Father of our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Sisters and brothers in Christ, we go from the place of the tomb, not overcome by fear and dread, but eager to share our joy and our hope. Today and every day, as disciples of the risen Christ, let us live our lives dedicated to glorifying and serving the God who we know as the Almighty. Alleluia and amen.